Greetings. I am Shisada Akona Kamara, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. This is Shisada Akona Kamara, joined by Pieli and Tim and Linda tonight. We're so grateful and happy to have you with us again, and we're ready to get started. So let's take a nice deep breath and get yourself centered, and I will clear the space. Mother, Father, God that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring past knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one shaft to surround each one of us. And I ask that they all be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each shaft of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity, and I place myself in service to all of you tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. Because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Ask you to stay where you are. We're going to do a little guided meditation that I did earlier. So just stay there. Take a nice deep breath. Give me two more big deep breaths. Exhale it all out. Bring your awareness now to the breath. You watch it come in as you feel it moving through your air passages. It feels cool. You feel the rise and the fall of your chest as you breathe in and exhale it out. Bring your awareness to the ground or the piece of furniture that you're seated on or lying on. Feel it against your body's weight. Bring your awareness to the sounds in the room. Are sounds outside of the room. the sound of your own breath, to the sound of traffic or voices or music. In the space of awareness, there is no story. And to be present now is as simple as pulling all of the focus right here. In witnessing the weight of the body, the movement of the breath, there is no story at all. And in the absence of the story, peace remains. There is always peace here. It is eternal as you are, beginningless and endless, always present, not always experienced by a cluttered mind, but always present. And if you can experience peace right now, you can experience peace anytime. Witnessing the weight of the body is no different than witnessing the story that emerges from another. Nor is it different than witnessing the story that seems to emerge from you. You are here, and you are now, and the only thing asked of you is to be here now. Which is not a doing, it is a being. Nothing to become, nothing to change. Just to be present and aware here. And there's no story of you in the present moment. So take a nice deep breath. And allow yourself just to come back to me. Come back to your surroundings. You may feel a lightness to your physical form after an exercise like that, which is really beautiful. The density of the form and the density that you experience is part and parcel of the story. So when the story is not present, often you'll experience a feeling of lightness or levity. I did this exercise longer in our physical satsang tonight. It was actually quite powerful. I call it an exercise, which is interesting because I've never done it before. It just kind of came. We'll call it an exercise, though. From now on, it's an exercise. But it's a beautiful thing. And in Buddhist tradition, they often will take meditation and they really do focus it through the physical form to get you to hyper-focus, to bring the point of awareness right here. And what I was saying to our group here in Charlotte prior to the show in session was that when I tell you to move in the world with a single point of focus, it's not any different. You know, life is a walking meditation of sorts. So if you can sit in a space of meditation and bring your focus to one place, and first I ask you to bring your focus to, you know, the ground, and I bring your focus to the breath, or I bring your focus wherever it is, and you move it. But as you move it, the other falls away, you know. So you're always just present wherever that is. Well, your waking life isn't any different. You just be present where you are, right? It's not that you're never not present where you are, but you are where the mind is. And as long as the identification runs, then that's very true. So whether you're seated someplace or not, if the mind is someplace else, that's where you actually are. In your waking life, you find rarely are you in the present moment. Usually you're not even in the room, really. If you think about it, how often are you with people, but your mind is someplace else? And so you're not even there with them. It's in this place where suffering exists. It's in the story. That's the only place suffering can exist, in the story. Suffering is a state of mind. And as I said to the group earlier, if you look at physical pain and suffering are not the same thing. And physical pain does not necessarily result in suffering. How many of you have gotten a paper cut and you have a moment of pain? And the body says, ouch. And then you didn't think anything else of it. You just moved on. And how many of you have closed your finger in a door and the body said, ouch. And it became part of your story for the next 2 hours because of how your thumb was throbbing and how much it hurt and all of this stuff that got attached to it. And what is the difference between the two? The only difference between the two is the attention that you gave it and the story you attached to it. The paper cut, seen as a trivial thing, doesn't garner attention. There doesn't need to be an experience of suffering. The door slammed in a thumb, on the other hand, garners attention. It garners concern. It's swelling up. Things are happening. Becomes part of our story. Where's the suffering take place? Was there suffering with the paper cut? No, there was pain for the moment. But was there suffering? No. Could there have been suffering? Oh, absolutely. I have a 14-year-old. If he gets the slightest nick, you'd think someone just cut his arm off. There's suffering there. I have a 12-year-old who can get a cut, look at it, bleeding, go in the house, wash it off, bandage it up, and she's right back out again. No suffering there. The only thing going on is just the way it's perceived and the meaning that's attached to it. That's it. To be at peace is as simple as not paying attention to the story. Whatever the story is, whatever the story wants to say, wants to be believed, wants to make true, wants to reinforce. It doesn't matter if the one who witnesses the story doesn't pay attention to the story has no power. I could have a copy of Moby Dick sitting on my bookshelf. If I've never read that story, it has no power for me. But when I pick it up and immerse myself in it, I experience the power that is in it. But in and of itself, it has nothing. It's a book. It's words on a page. There's nothing there. And when those words on a page commingle with the consciousness that views them, the power emerges. And depending on the perspective of the one who reads the words, the power will be different. The story doesn't have power. It's not intrinsic to the story. And that's very hard for people when they start observing the mind and all of its intricacies, because the story has been the thing running the show. And now all of a sudden you have someone telling you the story doesn't have any power. There's nothing there. That lower mind is not conscious. There's nothing there. Well, that can't be true. I mean, but look at my life. This has been my life. I was a victim. I suffered. Here it is. Like, here's my proof, and I have all the memory to prove it. But where is the power in the story? You could be a victim of abuse. You could have been a victim of abuse from 5 minutes ago. And I could bring you in with me and we could sit down and I could walk you through this very simple guided meditation. And in that short amount of time, I could bring you into a space, lead you to a space, rather, where the story falls away and the only thing that exists is the present moment. In what is witnessed by the observer, which is a sense of temperature, a sense of touch, a sense of scent, even sight. And within those, there's no story. It's just being aware of what is in the moment. And that person who was a victim of something that everyone in the world would agree was wrong, was bad, and the person's sense of victimhood was justifiable, can fall away in an instant. Where did the victim go? And if the victim can go away that quickly, how much power does it actually have? How much power does that story actually wield over you? If I can take you in a moment and get you to see that the only thing that exists is right here and right now, and there is no story in it. And you want to hold on to the story. And you want to say, yeah, but you don't understand, and you're not me, and you haven't led my life, and you don't know what it is to have to live the way I do and be who I am and deal with what I have to deal with. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care. It doesn't matter. The story has no power over you unless you give it power. And you give it power every moment of every day by identifying with it and calling it your own. you have no way of knowing what is going on outside of you, period. Do I know, for instance, I'm sitting here looking at Tim, and let's say Tim in this moment got a terrible stomach ache and he's doubled over in pain. Can I know Tim is in pain? Most of the world would say, well, yeah, there's your proof. He's doubled over. He's making noises. He's talking about how much he hurts. Okay. Does that prove to me he's in pain? Could he be faking that? Sure, he could. Could his sense of pain, his tolerance for pain, be extremely low? So what I would consider a very minor little discomfort, he considers full-blown pain? Sure. Is there any way I can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he is in pain? No, there is not. All I have to go on are my senses and what my senses tell me, my sense of sight, my sense of hearing. Your reality comes into form because your senses take the information and they turn it into your reality. Your senses are part of that fallen construct. And they're creating the reality that you consider to be real and true. And they're creating it out of a false presumption over and over and over and over again. And what I really want to bring you to tonight is I want to talk to you about something that I'm going to call passive spirituality. Because it has to stop. And that's where most people function from. It's the spirituality that says, I want to know God. I want to experience my divinity. I want to live from my heart. And I'm only willing to go so far as reading a few books or watching a bunch of YouTubes or attending a couple workshops here and there. I may even travel across the country and go to someone else's workshop. I'll do that. But that's the extent of what I'm willing to do. And what I'm going to tell you is that true spiritual work, dissolution work, which will take you off of the life-death cycle that you are currently trapped on, is not passive. It is anything but. And the time has come to stop allowing yourself to be passive with your own life. You're also busy taking all this time to focus on your problems and focus on where life is, unsatisfactory, and focus on what you wish it was. But how many of you are willing to do the work required to turn it around? And I don't mean to turn it around from a place where you go in to make the change in the outside world. I mean turn it around on the inside so that what naturally occurs is a change in the outside world. There's a difference. Remember, we aren't here to change anything. We're here to see through it. It just so happens that in the seeing through it, things change. But the point of focus is not to change it. It can't be. If you think you're going to change it, then what it means is that you believe that it's true and that it needs changing. That couldn't be farther from the truth. There is nothing here that needs changing. And y'all are going to argue with me on that. Oh my gosh, there's such horrendous things happening in the world, and there are wars and people killing each other and people being cruel to animals, and we're poisoning the planet, and the water's disappearing, and let's just you know, run with it for the next hour because we could. So how can you say nothing here needs to change? Well, very easily. If it's not real, why would we need to change it? Now, this is not an exercise in denial, which is what most light workers take it as. I literally have known people who have taken the concept of none of this is real and used it as a powerful, powerful tool for denial. They used it as their justifier for their own ridiculous behavior. That's not what I'm talking about. The world here is the polar opposite of your nature. You are eternal and you are expansion. This world is limited and this world is constriction. And you feel it as you're being pressed down into the earth because of gravity. And as the energies around you constrict themselves around your heart space and you feel it. That's this world. And we're all going to run around focused on the world saying we need to change this and we need to change that because it all needs to be love and light. So let's change this and that and the other thing. And we think that we're going to somehow tip the scale. No, the scale doesn't need tipping. It needs to be seen through. It needs to be seen for what it is. It's a shadow. It's a distorted reflection in a mirror. It's the funhouse at the carnival where you walk in and everyone makes you look distorted. That's this world. So why are we going to run around trying to change it? Make this messed up world more what? Palatable? And the purpose being what? So we can just stay here indefinitely and suffer a little less? Does it get rid of the suffering? No, of course it doesn't. We can all march for peace today because so-and-so is at war with so-and-so, and that's great, and maybe it makes an effect, and then that war stops, and, well, fantastic. And then 6 months from now, there's a war that breaks out someplace else. Why? Because you haven't found the peace that exists within you. That's why. You're looking to the world as some kind of barometer. Some kind of reason for you to be self-righteous and to judge. And you're the one holding the whole thing in place. You are God. That God exists outside of any concept, outside of any story. It cannot be limited by polarized language. Or maybe I should say it can only be limited by polarized language. But it cannot be limited, period. That's what you are. And you've made yourself so small. So powerless, or so you think. But you can't be powerless. You are so powerful, you created this whole reality. And you are so powerful that you convinced yourself that you didn't do it, and you convinced yourself that it's not you, and you're this tiny little speck of a person in this enormous universe, completely at the mercy of everything, and little do you know, it's all your creation. And little do you know that you can turn away and walk out of the funhouse anytime you want. But we come to the place where we get comfortable in the funhouse. We get used to seeing ourselves distorted. We come to expect that around every corner is another distortion. We allow the level of distortion to become a pacifier of sorts. If it's a little less distorted here than it was there, then I can be kind of okay with that. Why do you accept so little for yourselves? You, as God, who can be the creator of worlds, wants to limit yourself to a little physical form at the mercy of the whims of a polarized reality, suffering from poverty and suffering from ill health and suffering from lack of love and lack of respect and all of the menial, tedious little problems of humanity. And when did this become acceptable to you? What happened to you that you rolled over one day and said, okay, we'll just do this now? Because you know what? It happened. But it doesn't change what lays underneath it. You are God, people. It's time to wake up. It's time to see clearly. And part of that means it's time to stop being passive. You've got to take action with your own world, with your own sense of who you are, with all of it, with what you're afraid of, all of your concerns and your worries and all of it. It's time to face all of it. Not from the lens of the victim who can only see a level of reality based on the story, but from the lens of something objective, right? Who can back up and go, wow, what a twisted bunch of perception that is. That's not true. What on earth were you thinking? Y'all need to start talking to yourselves like that. See what's sitting underneath that. That little story you tell yourself, those little justifiers that you pull out every time you want to support a belief of your own. Justifiers that you use to allow the judgment to be okay in your own eyes, you know, how you judge others. And it's okay, and we can justify it. Oh, please. There's no justification for being hurtful. I don't care what it looks like. So it's time to get real, and it's time to get serious with yourself. It's time. No one can do this for you. Hardest work you will ever do is walking off the life-death cycle from physical densification. That's it. It can't get any worse than this. For as much suffering as you see in the outside world, you know where it comes from. It's all coming from within you. That's your suffering. It's the suffering of the collective, but that collective is you. The two are the same. There's no differentiation. The individual is the collective and vice versa. You understand? So if you're seeing it out in the world, it's coming from within you. There are wounds that are unhealed sitting deep inside of you that you have been running away from millennia. It's time to stop running and turn around and face it. It's time to walk into the void and to face the unknown and to just gather your strength from wherever you need to find it. But to do the work. You are not going to love and light your way into ascension, people. It doesn't work like that. You got to get in it. You got to walk through the shadow of the valley of death. That's what you have to do. And remind yourself that it's a shadow. It's not real. But boy, it sure feels like it when you're walking through it. There's no way to skirt around it. There's no way to fly over it. You've got to get down in the valley. Walk through the valley. The valley is of your own making. It's time to walk through it now. Your freedom lies on the other side. Mind is really tricky, and it's going to try to come up with a bazillion ways to get there without actually going through it. And they won't work. And you can spend lifetimes chasing down those paths. They won't work. Each one will take you a little step closer, and each one is powerful and has its own power. I'm not trying to diminish any other path. Don't ever misunderstand me there. All paths are equal. It just depends on where you're coming from, okay? People who listen to this program better be ready to walk through the valley, or you might as well just turn it off now. I'm not here to placate anybody. I'm not here to make you feel good about your misery. I'm not here to try to cover it up with a Band-Aid. I'm here to rip your Band-Aids off. I'm here to help you move into clear sight. Clear sight that initially can feel terribly painful. But clear sight that has the result of peace and the result of love and the result of expansion in a way you can't even begin to imagine. It's not about trying to be a better person. It's not about trying to fix a messed up reality. It was created out of deep fear, deep shame, and it won't change. You see your shame everywhere in the world. We don't have to fix the shame. We have to see through the whole story of it. There's nothing to be ashamed of, people. You never went anywhere. And I don't care what the world tells you, and I don't care what society tells you, and I don't care what your parents are telling you, or your spouse is telling you, or your children are telling you, or you're telling yourself about how much you've messed up and about how many missed opportunities you've had along the way. You have nothing to be ashamed of, because the only thing that ever could have done anything that warranted any level of shame is something that was created out of a faulty presumption to begin with, and it's not real. You aren't that. You never have been. You never will be. You can hold your beliefs and you can hold your story of misery for as many lifetimes as you feel like, because the choice is up to you. You have free will here, so go ahead and take it. But what I'm telling you is that it is unwarranted and completely and utterly unnecessary. Breaks my heart to think that someone can't even look at themselves in the mirror without feeling shame. You should be looking at yourselves in the mirror every morning, smiling and just beaming at yourself, because what you see reflected back is divine, gorgeous, beautiful, powerful, fantastic. Beauty that will bring you to tears, but all you can see are wrinkles on the face, added weight where you wish it wasn't. A lifetime of constriction that shows up in the physical form. And you are more attached to that and all the stories that run around it than you are to the divine and the full lightness of God that moves through those eyes. How sad. How sad. I told you before. Was it last week? I told you. I expect you all to start telling yourselves I am God. And that you might feel shame when you do it. And you need to get past it. I'm not kidding. There's a whole bunch of programming just in that right there. Oh, I can't do that. That would be blasphemous. I can just hear that one coming out of people's mouths. God, how self-centered would I be if I went around saying I'm God? Really? And what on earth is that based on? Some kind of societal belief system that is just completely warped? And what, we need to just kind of go along with it because it's more comfortable to go along with it than it is to stand outside of it? Oh, my word. No, not anymore. Not anymore. Time to stand up. You stand up and be counted. Many are called, few are chosen. Who gets chosen? The ones who stand up. Many are called. You all are called. God is calling itself home every day, every moment. Who has the eyes to see and the ears to hear? That's what it comes down to. And beyond that, who has the will to take the action necessary to actually do it? Do you? Or are you going to use a radio program to pacify you for a while longer? Yeah, I get it. I'm in line with that. You're totally right. Mm-hmm. I bet you feel good about yourself that you can listen and agree with me, right? Mm-hmm. I get it. And then tomorrow, when something comes up to trigger you and you jump right into the pattern, you never see it coming, you never witness you're in it, you justify your way out of it. You'll justify your way out of any sense of guilt or shame that comes because of whatever you did. And then you'll turn back to whatever programming it is that you listen to or read or whatever it is and use that as your thing to say, yeah, I get it. That's not work. That's denial. It's cowardice. It has to stop. I see you. All of you. And I mean that on two different levels. On one level, I see you as the program because that's all you are, the program. There's nothing unique about you. You're a program that's running on autopilot. And I see you. And beyond that, I see the glory and the beauty of you that you haven't even begun to see for yourself. And that's why I talk to you like this. It's harsh and hard and serious. You better believe it. Because sometimes that's what's needed to get a message through to somebody. Sometimes kind and gentle is the worst thing for a person. It enables their weakness rather than making them stronger. So allow me to be your spiritual drill sergeant tonight to give you a kick in the butt. Tell you to get up off your butt and start doing something. It all has to be picked apart. Every belief that you're holding has to be seen for what it is. You have to be able to go in and see that in every situation where you get triggered and you experience judgment, that judgment sits there because a belief that you're holding to be true has gotten challenged. And the way you retaliate is by passing judgment. You got to find those beliefs. And you have to look for the opposite side of them. And you've got to find that side in yourself. You're going to see it everywhere around you, but you won't be able to see it in yourself. It's hidden from you. That's why it's unconscious. If this was easy, people, you would have done it on your own a long time ago. It's unconscious for a reason. It's hidden for a reason. I mean, they call it the unconscious for a reason. It's not conscious. If it's not conscious, do you really think that it's as simple as you just going, oh, I'm just going to go in and figure it out? Wouldn't that be lovely? These programs are here for you so that you can go in and you can download archives through our website and you can listen to them over and over and over again. And I am giving you the steps that you need if you truly want to do the work. If you're tired of the suffering and you're tired of the crap, I'm giving you tools that will start to shift that for you. But you've got to do the work. And not run away when it gets hard, and not run away when I say something that you don't like and you press the little X on your browser bar so you can just turn me off. You go ahead and turn me off. That's fine. It'll be there for you when you're ready. Because nothing's going to shift. Truth is truth. You see, there is no your truth and my truth. That's a bunch of garbage. There is truth. And it never changes. It is as eternal as you are. Now, in a moment, you may not be able to witness that what I'm giving you is truth because it's challenging you. And so in your self-righteousness, you will decide to turn me off and make me wrong. Well, that's your choice, and that's fine. That's just fine. Because at some point, you will come back. And it may not be to me, but it's going to be to someone that brings you the same truth. Because all the great guides, the great teachers, all the great prophets and messiahs have all had the same message. There's a reason for that. Truth is eternal. You don't make it up as you go along. You don't fit in, create some kind of groove that you fit into, and now you feel comfortable and you feel like relatively happy. So that's my truth. I'm living my truth. Oh my gosh, what a bunch of new age garbage. Oh, I have to live my truth. Really? Great for you. You just keep running on that hamster wheel for 4 or 5 more lifetimes. That's super. Come back here when you're ready. Let's rip your truth to shreds. So you can see the light. And better yet, let's rip it to shreds so much that you can be the light. I put a posting up on our Facebook page recently. You can't, what did I say? You can't work the light until you can be the light. You see? You know, people running around on the planet saying, I'm a light worker, I'm a light worker. They're just as entrenched as everybody else's. How much impact are they actually making? Their choices are coming out of the program. They're all reactive based on the patterning. Are you really working the light? The light doesn't exist in the pattern. It exists outside of it. When you are the light, then you are a light worker. You can't not be a light worker. But you have to be it first. It's not a doing, it's a being. You aren't a doing either. But you've convinced yourself that that's true. And it's time for that piece to fall away. It's all going to crumble. It has to. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to suffer through it. We'll put it that way. I'm not going to say it doesn't have to be painful, but you don't have to suffer through it. If you'll step up and take charge of yourself and show up and do the work, I'm not going to tell you that the walk isn't hard. I will tell you it'll be the hardest thing you've ever done, but I will tell you it'll be the best thing you've ever done. It'll be the most rewarding thing you've ever done. And there's nothing else out there that will utterly transform you. Because what you think of as you right now will completely disappear. It just disappears. If you want peace, you're not going to find it in your personality ever, because it can't exist there. You don't find peace. You are peace. It is inherent in your nature. You are that. That's what can you can be guided there. But in order to get there, you have to be willing to go through all of the identifiers so that they can fall away. Because you have to see both sides of everything to bring it into balance. You're holding one side of everything too strong. You're pushing the other side of everything away. It is not in balance. That's why you keep returning lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And that's why each lifetime you come back differently, because it allows you to live the other side of the imbalance. And you have the opportunity then to bring it in balance since you get to live the other side. But what we do is we forget about the lifetime we just led. And so we come into this one and now we use this level of imbalance to define us and to create our sense of belief and to create the judgments. And then we get, we flip the seesaw to the other side and exit another lifetime and then have to come back and live the other side again. So you don't have to change it. You got to see through it. See through it. And what remains is you, God, eternal, perfect, and whole. Okay. Thank you for sitting through that. If you feel a little beat up, sorry for that one. But that was fantastic. We love you so, so very much. Gosh, I wish you could be here in front of me so I could hug you. We love you so very much. Go into the meditation, take it seriously, allow it to do what it needs to do. There's integration that can happen here, and I'm going to work it from my end. So sit with it. We love you. We'll see you next week. Good night. You are divine.